Thank you guys so much. And it's a great thing to be together worshiping Jesus. And today, guys, I'm excited for what we get to talk to you about. I'm going to start us in kind of a strange place, but we're going to be talking about a book that I love to read. There's some books out there that I feel like are worth reading multiple times. And for me, one of those books is the series Lord of the Rings by Tolkien. And I read it when I was a teenager. I read it in my 20s. And now in my 30s, I'm reading it again. And the reason for that is it's really gripped me with some great truths. And I want to share one of those as we're starting today. And so if you don't know anything about Lord of the Rings, that's okay. I will catch you up very quick to what we need to know today. So there's two characters that have the biggest burden kind of the story put on them. It's Frodo and Sam, two friends, and they are given this almost impossible task, even though they're very weak, to go and do something against this incredibly evil and strong force. And so they're on this kind of doomed mission, and they get super, super far into it. And it's a fantasy book, so there's this like giant spider. I mean, you gotta stick with me on that. There's this giant spider that attacks them, and it looks like Frodo, the main character, has been killed by the spider. And so Sam, his best friend, is super upset about that, but he still wants to carry out the mission, so he leaves his friend and tries to carry it out, and he finds out shortly after that that Frodo's not really dead. He's just been like put into some sort of coma or something, so he's left them when he shouldn't have. And I want to read this statement of Sam has this like inner voice tell him when he realizes his mistake. And I want to point out something to you. So he says, "You fool, Frodo isn't dead, and your heart knew it. Don't trust your head, Samwise. It is not the best part of you. The trouble with you is that you never really had any hope. The trouble with you is that you never really had any hope." So there's a lot to that phrase. If you've read the book, Sam sounds like the much more hopeful of Frodo and Sam, and he talks better. But here in this moment, you realize Sam accepted what his eyes saw, what his brain told him about the tragedy, right? He accepted, like, well, Frodo didn't make it. Of course he didn't make it. We were never going to make it. And because he didn't have real hope, then he endangers the life of his friend. And what I want us to focus in on today is that word right there, hope. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that love and faith and hope are three eternal things, the three greatest things. And of course, love is the greatest, and we talk about it a lot. And I think here, maybe we talk about faith quite a bit. But I think today, what God has for us at Maywood in this season is that we need to take a real look at hope. And do we have Jesus's kind of hope? Not some sort of let's make the best of it or put a good spin on it or sound positive, because Sam in the book has those things. But when he accepted that his friend failed and that story ended in death. And for some of us, we're going to get to the spot where we're going to accept some sort of tragic thing about our friends, and we will fail them because of our lack of hope. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But we're going to be looking at a story about Jesus, who is our source of hope. And as we look through it, last week we talked about apprenticing people, this idea of bringing someone alongside of you. Whatever you're doing with Jesus, bring somebody with you. And I want to give you a tool on how to do it today. Today's passage, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. If you got a Bible, turn there. But I want to coach you a little bit this morning on a way that you can read the Bible by yourself, but I would encourage you to read it this way with somebody else. So maybe you're the type of person, maybe you've never read the Bible before, but I bet this week, if you carried a Bible around with you, or if you prayed and said, Jesus, help me have someone to talk to about the Bible, I bet you could get an opportunity to do these four steps with somebody else. And if you're thinking like, Jake, I don't know how to bring somebody else to Jesus, like we were talking about last week, I don't know how to say, come with me and let's encounter Jesus. Here you go. Here's a little laid out formula for you to try. Okay, it's made up by me, so it's probably not perfect, but it's better than not doing anything, right? So it's four R's. It's a little alliteration for us, so we put it up on the screen, I think. Maybe. So the four R's are request, read, reflect, and react. So if you want to write those down, it's request, read, reflect, react. And whether you want to remember the four R's or not, we're going to do them together. So if you remember these steps. So whenever we come to the Bible, we come to the Bible to meet Jesus. We come to the Bible as a conduit, but Jesus is the electricity, right? Okay? So this is like the outlet we want to plug into, but Jesus is the source that we really want to get to. And so it makes sense, if you want to meet with Jesus, to talk to him first and say, please meet with me. That's as simple as it can be. If you're talking to somebody else about reading the Bible with you, just simply say something like, Jesus, please come meet with us. Jesus, please come teach us. Okay, so we're going to pray that way right now. So everybody bow your heads with me. Jesus, please come teach us. Jesus, please come meet with us. Amen. It's as simple as that. But you ask for Jesus to be there meeting with you. Then, second step, super simple as well. You just read a passage. And if you're new to it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John is a great place to read. And you probably know a Matthew or a Mark or a Luke or a John, whichever one you comes to your mind first. Picture that person. Picture them holding a Bible. And now I bet you'll remember where to read next time, right? You'll see John with all those freckles holding the Bible or whatever. So just read there. We're in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and this passage, if you showed up today and you think, Jake, I don't have any hope for myself, then you're not alone. We're going to read this passage. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. We're just going to keep reading through this, just like you're reading with somebody else, okay? So be picturing it in your mind. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boat so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Request, read, reflect is our final thing. And here, if you ask Jesus to come talk to you or come teach you, it would be silly not to listen. And so even though this is a sermon, we're going to pause for a minute because I believe you don't need me speaking to hear from God today. So we're going to pause, and I want you just to try your best to listen to Jesus. You can reread the text if you want, or you can just listen to what you heard. So we paused there for literally minute. And for some of you, it's January 31st. For some of you, that is the most space you've given to listen to God. Maybe you've asked him for 100 things this month or 1,000 things. Maybe you've learned 100 things about him. But we all just gave a minute to listen. And I know Jesus well enough that I know some of you in this room, you heard something. Maybe you're still not sure, was it your own idea, was it God's? But you have a guess that something God wanted to teach you or something you can know about Jesus. That prayer that we prayed, even with just a minute of our time, Jesus is often willing to come humbly and teach us or speak to us. And if you're here today and you heard something from Jesus in that reflection moment, then you would be a fool not to react. You'd be a fool not to carry out something if Jesus told it to you. Because there's lots of good ideas that I have or everybody else has about your life or that you have, but if Jesus himself has told you anything, then that is the thing to get done. That's the thing to make sure, but by the time your head hits the pillow tonight, movement has happened on that. You have made an attempt. You've at least run against the wall or something. You know, you've at least thrown yourself into the thing that Jesus told you to do. But I've got a little bit more of your time, so I'm gonna get us back into a kind of regular sermon mode. But know that you could do the same thing we did. There's nothing fancy about what we just did. Those four R's maybe help you remember it. But basically, you just open up the Bible with somebody and you say, let's ask Jesus to teach us. Let's read. Let's pause after we read, and then let's go do something. And especially if you're just reading with one other person, if it's just me and Ruby reading, it'd be fine to say, like, well, Ruby, what do you think Jesus said? Here's what I think he said. If one of us has an idea, I think go for it together and try it. Like, it's hard to think that that story's going to end up bad. If people are coming together, reading the Bible, trying to obey together, I think Jesus is going to have a lot of grace on that situation, right? So here's what I want to point out. There's a lot happening with Peter and Jesus in this story. You could preach it 100 different ways. Here's the thing that I noticed that I think we need for this week. Peter has sinned so much. I don't know if he cheated on his wife or lied and stole something from his partner or in business or what did he do? Disappointed his parents or something happened where he, when he really sees how powerful Jesus is, or at least the glimpse of that, he says, get away from me because I'm so bad. When Jesus really shows up, it's a very normal response for people to say, get away from me. I'm too dark. I'm too bad. Some of us understand that Jesus can show up and fix a broken person. I think a lot of us at Maywood have that level of hope, that no matter if somebody did meth this morning or if they've never been a good dad or whatever story is going on in that person's life, I think we believe that God can fix them today because we've seen it happen at Maywood. That by itself is not the hope that Jesus displays in this passage, though. Jesus doesn't just say, Peter, I can forgive you. It's not just what Jesus offers to Peter. He doesn't just say, Peter, I can break this cycle for you. The hope that Jesus gives to Peter, let me read it again. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Some of us, our biggest hope for our friend or even for ourselves is that Jesus would save us, that Jesus would snatch us out of the flames of our own wreck, right? Jesus' hope for you, Jesus' hope for that neighbor or that sister or whoever it is not just to pull them out of the wreckage. It's to make them the type of person that brings new life to other people. Do you see the difference in that hope? One is about getting somebody out of the hospital, and the other is about making somebody into a doctor, right? They're very different. Many of us, we look at how bad life has gotten for somebody we love, and we think, I just wish we could get them out of life support. I just wish we could get them on their own two feet. And I'm here to tell you that from Buck in the back all the way to the youth chapel, to the fellowship hall, to the internet, Jesus wants to do more than get the people off of your life, in your life off of life support. He wants to make us into doctors, community. He wants to make us into people like him. That literally we're changing things for good. That people around us are getting better because we're there. Think about a person you know who's really struggling. Maybe a person you started to try to apprentice this last week. Is that your hope for them? Not that they would fix, but that they would actually fix their family. That God would shine through them to fix their workplace or their neighborhood. Most of us have such a small itty-bitty hope compared to Jesus. We want to save somebody's life, and Jesus is thinking about grandkids from that person type of thing, right? He's thinking about generations changing from that person. Here's something we know about Peter, is Peter told Jesus, get away from me, I can't handle it. Jesus said, no, I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. Jesus is the one who's right. Jesus' will is the one who prevails there. Peter gets on board that day, and he stays on board. It's not that he's perfect, but he stays on journey with Jesus. And that, you know, at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus is telling Peter, right on the wake of Peter denying him, Jesus is saying, feed my sheep. Jesus is saying, just like I've been a shepherd, you go be a shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is telling a group of other leaders, you all go and be shepherds and take care of Jesus' flock. You see it? Jesus handed things to Peter and to others. Peter then hands things off to others as well. There's an unbroken chain of discipleship from Jesus all the way through to us in this room today. Jesus' whole method of ministry is to change people, not just to fix them, not just to take away the scars of sin, so they become a source of life to other people through Jesus, pointing to Jesus as the ultimate source. When you are trying to help a friend or a neighbor or a family member or an enemy, do not just hope for them to get out of their own mess. Have a Christ-like hope for them to become an ambassador for God. Paul has this same idea summed up real quick in 2 Timothy 2:2. I'm going to flip us there for a second. He says, all the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. What Paul is telling Timothy is the core of my life, I want you to entrust it to other people who will entrust it to other people. There's this generational thing happening with Christianity. It's how it works. That's how it thrives. Here at Maywood, we have a lot of God starting things. We have a lot of God saving people, beginning new things in people. We as the people of God have a responsibility to make this generational with God's help. To say, we're not going to just stop with fixing one person's problems. We're going to raise that person up to fix other people, right? It would not be enough if Brian English just stopped dealing meth, right? If that was the end of his story, that's not enough. Like, God's called us to equip the gifts that God's given Brian to bring more people to new life. And if it just stopped with Brian, like, that wouldn't be enough either. Like, Brian needs to raise up other people underneath him to carry on the same thing. And that's true for all of us in the room. So here's the thing for you to think about. It's great to hear this big story, but for you, the rubber has to hit the road with somebody. If you today can say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I need your forgiveness and your help. then you are ready to take somebody else on a step with you. Whatever step you're on, take somebody there with you. If you don't read the Bible regularly, don't even get your own habit going. Get a habit going with somebody else. Call somebody up and say, tomorrow, can we just pick up where Jake was and we're going to start in Luke 5. Or start praying in the morning, like, Jesus, I'm going to carry this Bible around until somebody asks me about it. And then I'm going to say, I carry it around because I'm trying to read it. Do you want to read it with me? And just do these little things with people. These little steps that we take of carrying our Bible or inviting somebody to pray with us or saying, can I help you? Jesus wants me to help this homeless person. I'm going to take my cousin with me when I go do it. Those little things we do, we're opening the door for Jesus. Jesus comes in and changes people. Jesus is the one that transformed Peter's life. Jesus' Holy Spirit is the one that transformed all those other people through Peter. But Peter had to open his mouth at certain points. Peter had to instruct people and do things. You have to open the door. So right now I want you to stop. I want you to think about, who is my person this week to take with me somewhere? Close your eyes with me. Picture their face. The person that you pictured, they might be really far with Jesus. They might not be very far at all. I want to close you out with one more thought going back to the Lord of the Rings. One of the themes there with Frodo and Sam is they have this conversation about being in the middle of a story. And they talk about how it's easy when you hear a story to know the ending and know things are going to work out, but it's very different to be in the middle of a story and not know if it's going to work out and realize that it doesn't always work out for every character in the story and you don't know which character you are. When we read about things in the Bible, we often know the end of the story. We know that Noah is going to be a big deal, so we're not surprised that he has faith. We know that Peter is going to be a big deal, so we're not surprised that he leaves his fishing business. We're not surprised when it works out, even when he denies Jesus, right? We know how the story ends, so a lot of times we don't see any need for hope. We don't hope for things that we already have, right? The people in your life right now, you do not know how their story is going to end. And it is very easy to get focused on, let's just get them over their next hurdle. Let's just get them off of this drug, or let's just get them in their own spot, or let's just get them in, come into a Bible study, whatever the hurdle might be. What if you said this week, Jesus, give me your hope for that person? Jesus' hope for the person in your life is going to be much bigger. It's going to be much different. If you're a mom and the person in your life is your child, your hopes might be very big, even if it doesn't look like they're going to make anything. I feel like a mom's love can always put hope into something. But even in that scenario, I mean, imagine what Pam Gossie was hoping for Eric Gossie when she said to him, like, you can't be here on the doorstep, said, you got to go. I can't help you anymore. I bet her hopes for Eric were nothing like what God accomplished through Eric, right? Our hopes, even noble hopes like a mom's love, they don't go as far as God hopes. God hopes for more in the people around you than you have imagined. Sam almost let his friend get killed because he didn't have hope that they were really going to make it. And if you don't have hope that the people around you can really become doctors, can really become life changers, then you might fail the people that God has entrusted to you. We can't control them. We can't control how they react. People met Jesus and still didn't make it, right? I can't expect everybody I try with to make it, but Jesus had this phenomenal hope. And if we're going to follow in his footsteps, we need the same hope. Just like we need his love and we need his faith, we need his hope to carry out this mission. And so I want you to picture that person in your mind, and I want to pray for you to have more hope with them as we go today. Okay, let's bow our heads wherever you're at. Let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, I thank you that even though we are broken people, you have forgiven us and you fill us up. And Jesus, I pray right now you'd give us your hope for the person that you have brought to our minds today. Help us to see not just that they have problems to be fixed, but they could be a tool in your hands, Jesus. They could be a mighty person in your hands to bring good things. Jesus, give us your hope. Help us to walk in that strength. Help us to walk in your hope and your faith and your love. Amen.